but it was a getter of, I don't mean Shalom Bayit between me and my wife either. Shalom Bayit between me and my daughter. Okay. It is 6 o'clock, and we are on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Thank you. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines at the bottom. Amar Rava, Rava says, Magic Divin says in the Pasuk, Shemesh Yireach Amad Zvula. The sun and the moon went to the Zvul. Zvul is a, there are 7 skies in the world, the Gemara told in Chagiga. The Rekia is number 1. Sorry, I think Rekia might be number 2. Vilayim is number 1, if I remember correctly. Rekia is number 2, Zvul is number 3. And the Shemesh and the Yireach are usually Hayitin Aitim Alekim Berekia Hashemayim. The Shemesh and the Yireach function in skyline number 2, which is Rekia. And they went to the Zvul. The Orchitzecha Yalechu, they go to the light of your arrows. Now, this is referring to the story of Kairach. Different reasons the Rishayim say that the Gemara knows it's referring about Kairach. The Ran in the Durham says that the reason we know it's referring to Kairach is because the Pasuk is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim and it's proceeding in a historical fashion, so we know that it's talking about Kairach. Others say different Terutzim. Rashi says here that it says Vatibaka Aretz before that, so Mimela we know it's talking about that it's talking about Shemesh Yireach, that's talking about the story of Kairach. Melamed Shalu Shemesh Yireach L'Zvul. The Shemesh and the Yireach went up to the Zvul. Amram in front of him, they said in front of him, Rebbeinu Shleilam, Im Atayis Adin LeBen Amram Neitzei. If you do judgment for Ben Amram, we will go out. I'm going to give you a stick up for Meishu Rabbeinu, then we will go out and do our job in the world. And if not, we're not going out. We refuse to go out. Now, the Rashba and the Dharm explains that their reasoning behind it was that the world stands on Tyra. If Tyra is being undermined, if Tyra's Meishu is being questioned, so then there is no purpose to the world anymore, and the Shemesh Yireach are going out of business. So basically what they were saying is, if we're to exist, Meishu Rabbeinu has to be stuck up for, because if not, the very existence of the world comes into play, which will take care of the Shemesh Yireach. So they refused to go out. Hachazarg b'mechitzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shot arrows into them. Amalad, and he said, "B'kvaydi lo mechitzem, b'kvayd vasav adam mechitzem, in my honor, you didn't make a macha," meaning every day the kings bow down to Avodah Zarah, and there doesn't seem to be a protest from the sun and the moon that they bow down to the Avodah Zarah, right? And sometimes they even use, they bow down to the sun, and the sun doesn't seem to be bothered enough to refuse to go out. And your arm, Meicha, and the honor of a bus of Adam, basically saying that the way the Rashi explains it is that Kairach's Eda is not an existential threat to the world, because it's a group of people. It does not take into most of Klai, it doesn't take enough people there to really make a big threat. And therefore, it's not any different than Averis being committed throughout the world, that the world exists with them as well. And that was the lesson that he's saying. Averis is tolerated, the world goes on, so will the world go on even with Adas Kairach. And therefore, the sun and the moon's ideas are turned away, and they are shot arrows in, and they had to go out. But the Gemara of Ibn Leinafkiya de Machuluhu. And that has become the norm, that the sun and the moon don't go out until HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends arrows. Now there's two pshatim in Rashi, why that's necessary. Let's take a look at Rashi. The Rashi, Shemesh Yireach Amad Zvula Leomen Eksiv Atibok Haaretz. Before that, the Pasuk mentions Atibok Haaretz, B'shas Bekiyas Haaretz Shenivlu Bekarka, at the time that the world split open and the Kairach's people got swallowed into the ground. Shemesh Yireach Olu Loisir Bekiyas Yishmai Zvul. They went up to this sky that's called Zvul Vamalak Adish Baruch Hu. Niat Aizid Din Leben Amram. If you don't stick up for Ben Amram, Yikairach Vadasai Lenegze Benor Loilam, we won't go out. V'chvaydi Le Mechisim Shai B'chol Yai Malchim Mizu Chumayrev Shoshim Anichim Kisrayim Bereishim Mishtachim Lechama. Because every day they bow down to the sun and you fellows didn't stop them. V'idna Lanavka De Gmachulu Shikach Kosher Lehem Amakim. Ten Shemati. So the way first chat Rashi is, that their punishment was that from now on they have to be hit, whatever that means, every morning or every evening in order to go out. Meaning, they got the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should be meicher for his covenant as well. So they never go out till they get hit. So every day they say, we shouldn't go out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor is being violated down there, it's being desecrated. And therefore, why are we going out? Now, the whole story of the sun and the moon not being able to go out, the sun and the moon are not Bali Bechira, they don't choose whether they should go out or whether they shouldn't go out. Nobody asks them, nobody tells them. They are robots of the Rabbeinu Shloilem. I think it's a lesson to us in the quote-unquote context we should take the story of Kairach or the fact that people serve Avodah Zarah. If we go with the Rashi's understanding, the question was, is the story of Kairach an existential threat to the world? The Rashi explains that the Shemesh V'Erech was saying, and this is just the way of the Gemara describing it, that with Kairach undermining the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, it undermines Torah for everybody, and therefore there won't be no Torah, there won't be a world. And the answer was that Avodah Zarah exists, and that is not an existential threat to the world, either is the story of Kairach. Therefore, Akvaydi Loi Machitza, meaning the world exists with Avodah Zarah, which is a direct, quote-unquote, kaviyachul slap in the face to the Rabbeinu Shloilem, it can exist with Anadas Kairach, which is just undermining the human aspect of the Torah, not the divine aspect of the Torah. So that was the answer. And the reason the sun and the moon don't go out anymore, it shows the pshat is that deep down there is a tine on the world that Avodah Zarah exists. Really, the world is going on, quote unquote, against the better judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense, whatever that means. Because there is an Avodah Zarah in the world, and Enoch Yudami, one should stop and say, you know, really a world with Avodah Zarah shouldn't be around. But this is the way the Rabbeinu Shlom wants it, so it goes on. That's the message in the fact that the sun and the moon have to be hit at all times. Yes?
Yeah, but look at the people who are doing it, right? It's a fish lema.
I'm reading your Rashba. The Rashba is saying that the Rabbeinu Shlom's answer was, he calls it a kutsa shel shaitim or something like that, and not to take it as it would not undermine Torah for Klal Yisrael completely. But now, I guess they have to be punished. But it wasn't an existential threat to the world. That's what the Rashi was saying.
But the sun never sets. It's only because the earth moves around the sun. But the sun doesn't go out.
Whatever that means, the sun coming out, the sun functioning. It's the way of saying that Teva wouldn't function. Teva shouldn't function. There should be no world. The sun doesn't ask any questions. The sun doesn't say any answers. Right? The sun doesn't talk. The sun doesn't. This is all a way of expressing a thought behind the Avera and how serious of an Avera it is and how serious of an Avera Avodah Zarah is, that really it's to be taken, no, we can't take it that the world just goes on even though there's an Avodah Zarah. Every day there's a question, you know, should there be a world in such a circumstance? The answer is there is, but it's like a forced world, so to speak. The Avodah Zarah keeps it going against the will of those who are Micah for his covenant, meaning such a way of expressing. Yes.
I just wanted to point out that I haven't done a thing about.
I know. I noticed. Yes. Too early in the morning to fight about whether my welcome is here or not.
Make a statement. It's just a nice song.
No, it's a statement. I mean, do you think the sun and moon have emotions? They don't have emotions.
I have no idea anymore.
They don't have any. But no, don't you have?
Fight about who's the bigger Moshe.
This all.
It's all allegory.
Exactly, it's all allegory. Absolutely, absolutely.
And the eighth didn't have a decision on whether to make a.
No. Trees don't make decisions. Suns don't make decisions. Moon don't make decisions. Once you give power to any creature besides the Rabbeinu Shloilem. And a human who's made B'Tselem Elokim, you have just introduced Avodah Zarah into the world. Yeah. So I might as well talk to the sun. I'll take care of my needs. Kach mukablani merabai say. So my Rebbeim got it to me. Be very careful. Why are we diving to the sun? Sun has decision-making power. I need a nice warm day. We'll talk to the sun. You can't give power to any other creature besides the Rabbeinu Shlalom and humans. We have Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim gave us ability of decision. How that works is something beyond our comprehension. But whatever way it works, it works. Besides of that, nothing else has choice. That instinct, they don't have choice. Trees don't have power, so we should talk to the tree if the tree has power.
I understand.
Okay, so that means obviously it's not the way it's supposed to be taken.
That's
the Gemara Vaitzer. Now that I've given Dr. Schwab this terrible Messiah to pass this morning, and we can go back. Dr. Gemara Vaitzer. Torah Shuva might have said, "In Bria Yivra Hashem, if Hashem will create a creation, a Patsas Adama Espia, and the world will open up its mouth." Amar Meishel to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. In Bria Gehenna Mutzav, if there is a Gehenna, fine. Then Lav Yivra Hashem, not let Hashem create a Gehenna. Fet the Gemara Lamai. Ilay the Lebivre Mamish. What? There's no Gehenna. But ain't called the Shtakas Hashemish. No new creations are made anymore. The Rebbeinu Shlom created a natural way of the world running. By the way, the Rishonim say that Takas Hashemesh is a way of saying Teva. The symbol of Teva, of what we call nature, is the sun. The sun symbolizes all things natural. The cycle of the seasons, hot and cold, all the things that we view as quote-unquote nature, the Torah refers to as Takas Hashemesh. Ein kol chodesh Takas Hashemesh is nature exists the way it created. There is no new nature. A part of it is there's no new creations of a new being. And therefore, if Gehenna didn't exist, it wasn't going to be made now. In fact, the Gemara in the Dorim brings a pasuk that says Gehenna was there before Bria Salem. It was prepared for Bria Salem. Part of the preparation for creating a world was to have a Gehenna for those who do Averis. So what does it mean? Maitre Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there is a Gehenna, fine, if not, not. Now, the Gemara in the Dharm splits this into two steps. Gemara in the Dharm says, he said, if there's a Gehenna, if there's no Gehenna, first the Gemara wants to say, to create a Gehenna, the Gemara says, Gehenna was around before the world. So the Gemara says, to create an entrance to Gehenna in this world, so the Gemara says, Ein kol chadish tachas Hashemesh. And for the Gemara, l'kruve pischa, to bring the door close to here. There is an entrance to, quote unquote, swing the entrance around to here, so they should go right down here, and, you know, and be punished that way. So Rashi, Ein kol chadish tachas Hashemesh, v'i Gehenna l'ivra, and who shayit them, Gehenna hadn't been created, havali chadish. L'kruve pischa, sh'yivka pischa, sh'gehenna, v'tiftach aris, v'mokim sh'heim, and the world should open up where they are. Darsh Rabbi Rabbi Darsh might have said, sorry, Ubnei Kairach Lemesu. Tana Mishum Rabbeinu Amru Mokum the Spatzer Lehem B'Gehenem. It was a place that was a Lushan of high, a high place in Gehenem. V'yashva Lev Amru Shira. And they sat there and they said Shira. Now Rashi here is Mashma that they did not come out. That they stayed there and remained there. That's what Rashi seems to be Mashma. Now the Rishonim ask from Midrashim that seemed to say that the Kairach came out, and they were the ones that sang Shira al-Aduchan, their descendants sang Aduchan. Shmuel came from Kairach, that's what it's brought down. Shmuel was a descendant of Kairach. And here it seems to say that Leimeisu, Rashi says, they stayed there. The bottom line seems to be that someone learned that this Gemara means a high place was prepared for them, and then they came out. Others want to learn that it's Machloikas. Some say they came out, and some say they didn't come out. The Pesukim talk about Levnei Kairach, so one can learn that it's referring to their story. I mean, many other ways that we learn Tillim when names are mentioned. But this seems to be a machloikas. Rashi seems to learn that this Gemara says they didn't come out. We will learn Rashi inside. Others seem to learn they had a high place in Gehenna and that they did come out. So it's a machloikas how to learn this Gemara, and the consequence is there a machloikas in Chazal whether they came out or not? The Rashi, our Midrashim clearly did they came out. That would have to be an argument on this Gemara. According to the others, Mepharshim, this Gemara doesn't say they never came out, just says when they dropped, they did tshuva and therefore came right out. But we take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Nisbatzer, the Lashon Ir Betzura, a fortified city, they didn't go so far deep in Gehenna. Now, over here, the Mizrahi has a different Girshan Rashi. See, our Girshan Rashi can say, V'loi Meitzu, and they came out. But the Mizrahi quotes Rashi, every 30 days they go to Gehenna and get punished, and they come back up. They go for a little jump into Gehenna, and then they come back up. So the way the Mizrahi has the Gerson Rashi, Rashi's saying they never came out. They're in a high place, they don't suffer. Once every 30 days they get a dip into Gehenna. That's how he learns the next piece of Gemara. Now, others learn, no, they didn't die and they came out. So it's a machlokes. If you have the Gersa of the Mizrahi and Rashi, then Rashi seems to say clearly they never came out, which would make it as a machlokes between this Gemara and other Midrashim that seem to say they did come out. If you don't have the Mizrahi's Gersa and Rashi, Mizrahi's a Rishon, by the way, if you don't have that Gersa and Rashi, then one can say that Rashi agrees they didn't die and then came out at a later date, whenever the date may be. Yes?
Rabbi, maybe you said it and I missed it. What's the significance of having Gehenim access through earth? Gehenim should be a place not for the group. It's a spiritual place. Here, it makes it look like it's necessary to come through the crust, underneath the crust of the earth. What are we talking about?
I did not talk about this. The way the Mefarshim explained it is that Kairach's undermining of Moshe Rabbeinu required a different type of punishment than any other Avera, because he was undermining the authority of Torah being passed through humans. And therefore, it wasn't enough that he should die and he should be punished posthumously up there, but that the kind of death should include both body and neshama. Both guf and neshama should die together, so to speak. And therefore, it was necessary that he die in a way that not only does he die and the neshama leaves his guf, but the guf and the neshama leave together, and that's the way the guf and the neshama left together.
So I didn't word my question correctly. Why is Gehenna manifested as something underneath the earth? Why?
I never thought about it, but I'll tell you my first.
Why can't it be transported upward?
I never thought about it. My guess would be it's to show that it's under the earth, meaning, so to speak, lower level than the earth. Right? We view heaven as higher level and the earth as a lower level. Gehenna is under the earth, meaning one doesn't go up to Gehenna. One goes down to Gehenna. Right? And the purpose of that is to say that it's not a higher, it's not, the terminology is to get a point across. It's that.
Spiritual lowering.
Exactly.
So it has to be manifested with physical lowering so we can understand.
Exactly. That's, again, this is I never thought about it. The first time I'm thinking, and I never thought about it, you know, this is my first reaction. You know, for all I know, somebody said something much better, different. This is my first reaction, is it's to get the message across that one who does not do the correct thing in this world heads downwards, so to speak. Whereas one who does the correct thing in this world heads upwards. We're, so to speak, in the middle where we can decide our future way of going, and the going under the earth is just the way of getting that message across.
The sons of Aram didn't go down, they didn't really go up, they got adapted to life. Basically,
their neshama was taken out.
So they didn't have to have their neshama with the group.
Right, exactly. Well, there's a different kind of sin over there.
Right.
It's a different kind of sin. The way I understand Adarava, they did go up. Perhaps their neshama did go up. They suffered in this world and went straight up. They were huge tzaddikim who had made a mistake, paid for it dearly. I mean, the pasuk says on them, "Bekroivei Hakadosh, with my close ones that will be sanctified." Kairach doesn't get that on that title. Yes.
That's very nice from a homiletic level, but I'm afraid one might need the site of Billboard, which is on the way to Columbus or Pittsburgh, which says very big red letters, "Hell is real." Its physical place, we're about to see in one or two lines, then is located under the ground. It is lower. It is not conceptually lower. It is not metaphorically lower, although all those work. We're about to see in the next couple
of months. It depends how you read the next.
Physical.
I understand. I'll tell you how I understand it again. I mean, I don't think if you dig in any place in the world, as deep as you want to dig, are you going to find Gehenim.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Okay.
Now, but that doesn't. There are many things that one has trouble finding because of the Higgs boson. On the other hand.
Who?
The God particle. It's the field which carries mass in this universe mathematically. However, that doesn't mean it's not real. And this is not real metaphorically. This is not real.
I agree with you.
This is a real place. Its location geographically is under the surface of the earth. And the fact that we cannot find it using...
Now, see, the Gemara... Okay, I don't want to argue with you now. Let me read the next Gemara, and then we'll argue.
I have to argue. He said Columbus,
Gehenna, says? Okay. Well, he said the Pittsburgh. Then he changed it to Pittsburgh. I'm a rabbi.
I did not make any Gemara.
I think you go and go for
the
event.
So in Gehenna itself, the farther down you go, that's the worst. Gehenna isn't just one.
No, it's seven levels. There's Shiva Madure Gehenna. They're all hot and cold, by the way. The Medrash says that Gehenna is 6 months of hot heat and 6 months of cold. So people say it's not as hot as Gehenna. They really can say it's not as cold as Gehenna either. It's the same thing.
Except they can't say that.
I'm Rabbi Rabbi Chana. It's in the Chana. It's in the Borcha. One time I was going on the road. Amalei Ahutaya, this guide, Rashi says, the Yishmaeli said, Tav Achmilok blew in the Kairach. I will show you where Kairach got swallowed up. Also caused a train busy. He saw two cracks in the ground. The Kanafik Kutra Minayo. Smoke was coming out. Shaku Gabba Amra took a clump of, I don't know what Gavav is, a batch of
wool
sherrings. Amshamai made it wet with water. Vice versa, they put it on the top of a spear. Rachlevi had somebody put it into the crack over there. Ichrich, it got singed. Atzis Mashamat, listen to what it says there. The Shamas and I listened to Abikami Hachi. Moshe Emes, the Taras Emes, Moshe is true and his Tair is true. Vehem Vadoit, and they, referring to themselves, are false. Amaloi, so the guide told Rabbi Babachana, Kotlasin Yaimim Mahazul Gehenim Kibasa with their Kalachat. Every 30 days, Gehenim goes around like meat in a spit. And every 30 days, they make it here. The Ami Yachi, they say, Moshe Amos, the Taras Amos, Vahim Badoi, Moshe is true, and Tyre is true, and they are liars. Now, Rashi learns it refers to the B'nai Kairach. Once every 30 days, as Gehenim makes its way around to here, they get a dip into Gehenim, and the next other 29 point days, they don't do it. That's how Rashi, according to the Mizrahi, says. If you learn the other way, this is not referring to B'nai Kairach. B'nai Kairach came out. Whoever remained behind does this every 30 days, does it all the time, but every 30 days it comes over here. Now, Dr. Schwab is saying from here that you see Gehenna as a real physical presence under the ground. The way I understood it, again, I have no proof, is that Gehenna is not a physical presence under the ground, but there's a connection to under the ground. Under the ground, we can, quote-unquote, access or hear what happens in Gehenna at a certain point. Now, I want to say this. The Gemara says in Sukkah that there are entrances to Gan Eden and to Gehenna in this world. And both are undergoing, you have to go down, neither are one to go up. So obviously, there is, quote-unquote, physical accesses to these places that are deal with souls, not with bodies, and deal with ruchnias that can perform the punishment as opposed to gashmias that can perform the punishment and reward. Now, what it signifies by this physical access to it, again, I can answer homiletically, is that we reach it through the actions of this world. So from this world, there is access to one and access to the other. But I cannot say that Dr. Schwab is wrong, that it's a physical presence somewhere. I don't know whether it's physical or not physical, but there definitely is some kind of access from this world that they could hear to this world, in this place in the desert, they could hear through those cracks the B'nai Kairach saying this. Again, I can't say any more about it because I don't know any more about it. Yes?
The citation I would make is, one time I was in arguing with my son, who's an older guy, and the only guy who said specifically and clearly that every single word of the Gemara is literally true.
I did not say it's not.
But a few of Rabbi Barbara, the lesson of few.
Even though the Gro has a whole parish on it, that it's not.
No, but that's not that it's not.
I understand.
It can be understood also.
Yes, yes.
This 30-day
seems that way. Now, it seems that way. Now, why 30 days? It's an interesting thing. Because they wanted 250 Kahanim Gedalim. And the moon was the one that said that Yem Shalom Shnei Malach, the two kings can't rule at the same time. So they were trying to say, you can have more than one Kohen Gadol at a time, so therefore they're punished in moon cycles of 30 days. That's why I saw one of our Kohenim. I thought it was a nice one. Obviously, people that don't have a Kohen Gadol Haba, like Adas Kairach, they get longer stays in these kind of areas. By the way, I just might as well mention it now because you're going to hear from me in the next the whole week. Is that by the end of the week, if we're not utterly and totally confused about how Gehenna and Olam Haba works for what, for who, for what, and when, then I didn't teach well. By the end of the week, by the end of my preparation, I'm just a number ahead. I am totally confused. So, but then again, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah does give us some guidelines, but to fit this Gemara with the guidelines of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah it's difficult. I mean, I'm just saying it's difficult. The Mefarshim all talk about it. They all try. They all say different things. But, again, it's like pick or choose which way you want to go, but it's difficult. So, again, I will agree with you. This definitely does not work with the 12 months. This is way after 12 months. Rabbi Bachanel lived hundreds and hundreds of years later. He was in Amira, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're talking about, I would say, definitely over 1,000 years, over 1,200 years. After the story of Kairach. Yeah, whatever that means. That's called the Kuzma's the Rabbi Babachon. That's true. Yes?
They actually go back to before Babachon. The Cholon, when he put the material on the Cholon and then the spirit came back. Was that a cycle of one day or 30 days?
I don't remember. Vashi Taya Sechi Yishmol Blui Makam Shinez Balu Lashem Adas Kairach Biza. Raw neck of he saw a hole from many yards to usher the smoke came out. Gav v'giza shearings. Amshay sharizim in Miami soaked it in water. Lashem mashi yaday. V'chol shleishim yayim. We have it in parentheses. Chayz of the Gehenna v'ayla l'sham. That he go down to Gehenna and come back. That's a different than saying Gehenna comes around. Amma ehu tayakot lasin yayim ahad lu Gehenna v'hachar Gehenna comes around. Here, Rami Yaki Maisha Amaz v'terasi Amaz shenisa katbama v'ra. He tested this many times and he saw shkol amajem usher yaytim isham. Once every 30 days, the smoke comes out of there. Shemesh Amir Maisha Emes, the Terasi Emes. Okay. And now is when the going gets interesting as we find other people that don't have a Kailik Melam Abba. And again, it gets harder and harder. That's all I can say. Dar HaMidvar Ein Lam Kailik Melam Abba. There's a Machoikis in the Mishnah where the Dar HaMidvar has a Kailik Melam Abba. If Akiva said not, Rabbi Eliezer says yes.
The Dar HaMidvar means the ones that did the Chet Ego, right?
The Dar HaMidvar means the ones that did the Chet Ego and the Chet Meraglim, correct. But they're also the generation that accepted the Torah. Again, I'm just pointing out who they are. That's all. I'm just, instead
not
of
people who entered Eretz Yisrael.
No, it's their parents. That's the Gemara Tanya Rabbanan. Daya Midbrei Lam Chelik Lo Lam Abosh. Remember, the Midbrei Zeh Yishamu V'Shar Yimusu. They will end and die. Yitamu Bo Lam Azeh V'Shem Yimusu Bo Lam Abosh. Again, it's hard for me to. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer had problems with this. So do I. In Rabbi Kiva's words. I don't know how to explain it. Omar also says, "Hashanishbati bi'api." I swore in my anger, and Yivayin Amunuchasi, if they will ever come to my resting place. And the Gemara is using that they will never come to the resting place in Olam Haba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Harei heimboin lo Olam Haba." They won't come to Olam Haba. Shenamar isuli chasidai, gather for me my pious people. Karsei v'risi ali zavach. They cut the treaty over Karbonas, referring to the Dar HaMidbar, who brought Svachim Shlomim, and the Hinei Adam HaBris, the Pasuk says, L'man imikayim HaShenishbati b'yapi. What do we do with HaShenishbati b'yapi? V'api nishbati v'chizrani bi. At one point Hashem said I was angry, but then afterwards I changed my mind, and I let him back in, so to speak. Rashi, V'api le'gesinan shenemar le'el minei gesinan el minei kra abom shana okud b'doyer. 40 years, Akud Bador means I was angry at the generation, the Hainu Dar HaMidbar. Karsay Brisi Ali Zabach, Hainu Dar HaMidbar, Shekarsu Brisho Mokam Ali Zvachim Ushlamim, they cut the Treaty of Hashem on Zvachim Ushlamim. The Siv, Ayizbuchu Zvachim Ushlamim, the Siv, right, Shlamim Siv, Ayizbuch Alaam, Vayamahin Adam HaBris, this is Adam HaBris, Shekaras Hashem Yimbachim. Nishbani v'chizvani mi, v'hainu asher nishbati v'api. Mekasi nishbati, for my anger I swore, umuskharatani, however I changed my mind.
And just follow up on my last question. What does Dor Zeh refer to?
Same Dor.
Does that refer to their children? Or
no, the same generation.
So it's up to Chet Meraglim.
Up to they died.
That's the Dar Daya, the one who died, not the ones who...
Right. The Dar Daya is the Dar that came out of Mitzrayim, got the Torah, did the Egel, did the Meraglim. That's the Dar Daya. 8 months for 40 years, 8 Tzvav, lived in Anani HaKavod. That's the Dar Daya.
The ones who were 120 years old.
Are not, they're the ones that survived. They're not, they might be part of the Dar Daya that didn't get all the Gemara is talking about, but the Dar Daya as a whole refers to that group of people that I just referred to.
So you think they're not getting a little hard before what they're talking about?
According to the Tiva, correct. Again, do I understand it? No.
Salvatore Connect.
Again, do I understand it? No. I said it twice. There's no reason to ask. I don't know the answer.
What do you mean?
I don't know the answer.
It's a statement. No, I disagree.
You can't disagree with the Tana.
A little bit of Torah is better than everything else.
Again, Rabbi Kiva says that I can't help you.
I'm saying it's very hard to
understand. That's why I started off and I said, I don't understand it. Did I say I don't understand it? I don't understand it. Well, that's a good point.
Oh.
And the answer to that is, why do we have to know about anybody they don't have no Kelly Kalamaba? We could have eliminated this whole parish. And then you wouldn't have been here for 3 months. With a lost child, that would have been terrible. But no, the answer is that it's necessary for Sky Vidish. In order for us to...
the lesson.
For us.
Yeah.
It's for us to understand...
Whatever
you want to call it, yes. It's a lesson to Chayav Einish. And if, I mean, according to Makiva, this is a huge lesson. Because the more questions you ask, the bottom line is your Makiva says, I don't know what it means. But whatever it means, it sure is frightening. It just says, you know, there are consequences to behavior. It's one of the hard parts that everybody has, is to figure out that behavior has consequences.
It's very scary when they lower themselves into that Oren, into Tishabov, or every Tishabov, when they lower themselves into that Oren, that was it.
Again, according to Makiva and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, how we Paskin, the Gemara says that we Rabbi Eichelim Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So whether they had a Chelek Olamaba or not, they definitely have one now, because the Rishayim, the Mepharshim speak out that Rabbi Yechanan soon is going to paskim like Rabbi Eliezer. And if he paskims like Rabbi Eliezer, you know, we're going to have a Gemara later on in the daf also, where it's interesting, Rabbi Yechanan picks him on the Amar in a tshuva, and he says, Halacha Kemaitzai, because it's not paskim Shechon Aruch, because it's not Negeyas Alamaba. Rabbi Yechanan in his letter, I'm going to mention when we get to the bottom of it, paskims like him on the Amar. Says Halacha Kemaitzai, and therefore, tells us somebody something in the letter, as we will see later. I think it was fascinating. Rabbi Meisha decided to pick out an Amaroyim. You know, this is not passing the Rambam, it's not passing Shulchan Aruch. At least I don't think it's passing the Rambam Shulchan Aruch. It's not having Rabbi Meisha. And Rabbi Meisha decided to passing it on, based on his, and again, Rabbi Meisha. He had a riot, he has a reason why he passed it that way. But he passed it, it's like he would come along and say, and this is how long it's like this man the Amar, therefore you can assume that I'm in Rabbi Chelikim and then tell somebody to do something or not to do something based on this kind of stuff. But the Mepharshim do speak out that momentarily, about 5 or 6 lines from now, we will see that Rabbi Yechanan says that at least they understand them to pick sides in the Machlok. I wouldn't have read Rabbi Yechanan that way. As we get there, I'll hear what everybody else has to say, but the Mepharshim understand Rabbi Yechanan is picking sides. Now, could be that those, I don't remember who they were, I'm not going to say what I'm saying, but if they're, you know, contemporaries or close to contemporaries, it could be they're driven by the very same questions that we have, that we just can't go to sleep at night thinking that the Dar Midbar has no Kevlik and Elamabah, it's just very bothersome. Rabbi Yechanan says, we'll see what he says momentarily, but he seems to pick sides like Rabbi Eliezer. Yes. Well, we had that earlier, and the ultimately everybody ends up in Adam Abba. We had that later on. Yeah, we ended up with such a nice song. That's how we end up, right?
That's positive.
Well, according to Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it means Hashem changed his mind. That is positive. According to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, I don't think why we should sing it out so loud when we end up. Well, saying Kabbalah Shabbos, by the way, is Darizal. Till Darizal, they didn't do this. This whole Kabbalah Shabbos. You know, there's some people at Shul's had a minig, and they daven Kabbalah Shabbos up to Baruch Hu from the Bima, then they move up, in yeshivas they do that. The reason for that is because it wasn't part of the original liturgy of prayer. It was not part of the Nusach HaTfilah. It was not there. Darizal said that on Friday at night, before Shabbos, one should say six Kapitlum. And he said which ones. And it became this Kabbalah in all of Chal Yisrael. All of Chal Yisrael is Kabbalah Shabbos. But in some places, in order to get the message across that it's not really part of the original Nusach HaTfilah, the Rishayim didn't do this, not in Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, we daven it from a different place. And the Chadaydi was made by Reb Shlomo Malkovitz, who lived in the time of Arizal, written by him. Davening used to start Mizmor Shili on Shabbos. That's where it started.
They sang
it on the way to Shul. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't say it at all. It's an Arizal. It comes from the Arizal to say Kabbalah Shabbos.
They used to say it before.
They didn't say it.
But they
who said they said anything? Why are you assuming they said anything?
I picked it up somewhere.
The Gemara says they said by v'neita likras kala, that one line. All the Gemara mentions. Some Amoraim used to say, go, let's greet the kala. That's it. There was no mention of saying any six kapit luktilim anywhere. Now Rizal said to say it before Shabbos. I'm not belittling it. Chas v'shalom. It's not Rizal. But on the other hand, it's not in the original. That's why some shuls and yeshivas have the minig. They daven Kabbalah Shabbos in a different location.
So where's the makor for the drasha before Baruch?
He said it outside the chakal kapuchim.
Right. What? Because Adam Chayach has six lines. Seven lines. Adam Chayach is the shem and beis, the shem and seven, and obviously the six kapitlach leading into Shabbos has. See, I know very little Kabbalah. I know what it says in my sitter. In one of the siddurim I used to use as a bachur yeshiva, it said that every one of these kapitlach refers to a day of the week. Kudaradana is connected Sunday, and Shur LaShem Rechidus Chadash is connected Monday, and Hashem Moloch is connected, and that's why that Mizmor L'David. By the way, the whole standing up by Mizmor L'David is based on the Arizal says that the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos is Mizmor L'David. We stand when we're Makabal Shabbos. By Chassidim, they stand through Mizmor Shiliyah and Mashabbos. From Mizmor L'David through Mizmor Shiliyah and Mashabbos. Because that's the Kabbalah Shabbos, starts at Mizmor L'David and ends by Mizmor Shiliyah and Mashabbos. That's why they stand the whole time. Because you're supposed to greet Shabbos when you're standing. That's why everybody gets up for Mizmor L'David. Why is everybody standing up for Mizmor L'David? Walk in Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't even say Shulchan Aruch, you should say Mizmor L'David. But it's the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos with Makabal Shabbos Bamida. They used to go out and greet Shabbos, so we stand. That's why we stand by Bayim B'Shalom. Same idea. We're greeting Shabbos. So some stand straight from Mizmor L'David to after Mizmor
Shiliyah.
Right. That's why they start Mizmor L'David. The Chassidim start Mizmor L'David. Nusach Svard starts Mizmor L'David and Shabbos Cholamay. Why do we do that? Because that's the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos. So we don't say the rest. Because the 6 days that a work week aren't Negeas, we're in the middle of Yom Tov, whatever it is, but Mizmor L'David, how can you not say Mizmor L'David? It's the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos. That's where it came from. That's all the Nogim come from. But again, originally, it just wasn't even part of davening. I don't know why they picked the first two and the last two. I have no idea. I know why they picked the last two, but I don't know why they picked the first two. But I don't know. Okay.
Because you don't start at the end.
That's the Gemara Vayit, maybe. That's the Gemara Vayit. Rishub and Karkar, where they never pass the Gzal, can I get there with Saboim? This pass the Gzal, is fully Chassid, yes.
I was saying that everyone seems not to understand Rabbi Kiva, I don't understand Rabbi Kiva either. The implication of a lower Mechanowitz Ratzin changing their mind, I understand.
The Gemara learns out how far is the Dharma from here on Chagiga, from this bus, is one of the Pesukim that's brought. This pasuk was only said connected to Darius that come. Iswul chasida elu tzadikim shebchodar v'dar. Karse brisi, the Gaon takes out Ali Zevach, elu chananya mishol v'azaya. It's referring to gathered to me chananya mishol v'azaya, shemasu aslam utachtiv shenesh. And the reason they get honorable mention, the Mepharshim says, because it wasn't even really Avodah Zarah. It was a statue. But they were machmer in themselves that nobody should think that they're serving Avodah Zarah and they were willing to die. Ali Zevach Elu Rabbi Kiva v'chaveirav shemasu atzmam l'shchita al divrei Torah, willing to die over teaching Torah. The Rashi Elu Chananya Mishal v'Azaria shemasu atzmam l'misa b'shul b'isa shomakum. They were meiser because of the treaty with Hashem. Shimon Menashe I'm a bomb in Elam Abba. Shimon Menashe says they will come to Elam Abba. Shemar Avduyei Hashem, those who Hashem redeemed already, Yeshuvim will come back a second time, Uvo Tzion Berina, they will come to Tzion Berina. Now here we see that the Gemara is equating Tzion Sameisim and Elam Abba. And we're going to have this later as well. Those who don't have Elam Abba don't have Tzion Sameisim. Those who have Elam Abba will have Tzion Sameisim. Because he's proving from the fact that it says Uvo Tzion Berina, that therefore Bo and Hain Elam Abba. They will be there for Elam Abba, because the pasuk says, "Vol Tzion Berina." Rashi, "Vduy Hashem Eludar Hamidbar Shenivdu Mitzrayim that were redeemed from Mitzrayim." Amar Rabbah Bavachan Amar Rabbi Yechon and Shavkur Rabbi Kiva Lachasidusay. Rabbi Kiva dropped his. How does he translate it?
Generosity of spirit.
Generosity of spirit, meaning Rabbi Kiva, who later on in the Gemara will say is very generous with Elam Abba, over here dropped his generosity and was rather harsh in the giving out Elam Abba. Shenemar. And he's going to bring a pasuk that seems to say clearly that these people are getting Elam Abba. Haluk v'karasa v'azni Yerushalayim leimar. Leimar. Go call in the ears of the people Yerushalayim. Zecharti lo chesed narayach. I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahavat kul esayach. The love of your. Zinga comes from Kala, from your
bridal days.
Lechtech achrei b'midbar, following me in the desert, v'eretz b'lei zeruah. Ma'acherim bo'am b'schusam. We live off that schus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is remembering that schus for us. Hey, Natsuman le'kolchke? Don't you think they themselves should get Elam Abba? So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be paskening like Rabbi Eliezer, and he said something that I would never dare say. Shafkir Rabbi Kiva l'chassadusei. He left his generosity and decided to be harsh, whereas the Pesukim say we should be generous. Now, how does Rabbi Kiva learn that pasuk? The Mepharshim say, he says it's either going on Shevet Levi, who didn't do any of the Chatoim, or it's going on the under 20 over 60 crowd, who survived one of the two Pshatim. But Rabbi Yochanan took it on everybody. In fact, we assume always that it's going on everybody, like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore they say he's paskening like Rabbi Eliezer, that they do come by Elam Abba. Rashi, Shavkir Rabbi Kiva l'chassidusei, Shai Rangu l'zakas is Yisrael. He's accustomed to say good about Klai Yisrael. Rashi Makayev Lut, Amar Lel Dar Midbay Elam Chel Elam Abba. L'kam in Mepharish Makhassidusei, later on we will find where Rabbi Kiva was generous. Shanem Mahalag v'karasa, Klai Mashari Yochel Lidrush Yesh Lam Chel Elam Abba. He could have darshan positively. L'chsev Halag v'karasa. He doesn't, Rabbi Yechon is not understanding why Rabbi Kiva did this. There's so many psukim that this pasuk he could have darshan that would have persuaded him that, I just want to mention something, and it's a little bit off the beaten track, but I thought I would mention it. You know, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore and he changed his mind. It's brought in Svarim. It bothered me for years. Why is Kol Nidre such an important tefillah? You know, when I grew up, going to Kol Nidre was like, Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre. Everybody ran to Kol Nidre. What's Kol Nidre? Kol Nidre is Atzaras Nedarim. We do it Erev Shoshana after davening. It takes us 10 minutes, and we either do or don't understand what we're talking about when we read it. And that's Kol Nidre. And that's all we're doing by Kol Nidre. It has nothing to do with Kaparas Havayinus. It has nothing to do with anything. All we're doing is removing the vows or saying that our vows from now on should not count. And it became such a unbelievable high moment of Yom Kippur is Kol Nidre. What's Kol Nidre? So I asked this question. I went around asking this question when I was a yeshiva bacha. When I asked everybody a question, I had all kinds of answers. Now, I really think that the answer is in the Zayir, and not that I know Zayir, but it's an answer in one of the things that printed in my Magzor. Kol Nidre is we're being matir, if in case HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a neder not to take us out of Golos, we are removing that neder. That's what happens in Kol Nidrei. The Zayir says, or the Raya Mehemna, I don't know the difference is, but into the Maitzider, right in front of the Kol Nidrei, is this piece, Kam Reb Shimon, and in that piece it says that in case HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to make a vow not to take us back to Eretz Yisrael, we as Klal Yisrael, on Yom Kippur, are removing that vow, are being Matzer Neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very interesting point, I just thought I'd share it because we talked about Ashenishbati the Abi, because Rani B, that is that Klal Yisrael as a whole has this power of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mutalach, you can take us out of Galus, it's okay, even though you might have made a vow. Now, I don't understand it, I'm just saying the words that I saw. I really think that of all the truths that I heard about why Kol Nidre is so important, and I heard because it's the beginning of Yom Kippur, so everybody gets into it. I heard because they sing the Marano song, and therefore it's a reminder of all the tzaras we went through. There's a Barcha Regression Ber Soloveitchik, a beautiful pshat, and why Kol Nidre is so important. But all the, I don't want to share it now, it's a whole thing. Basically, he's saying that tshuva is charata and kabbalah. Right, so how do we know we're sincere? There's one aveira that we can remove with our charat and kabbalah, and that's nedarim. So if we remove it, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we want to remove our aveiras. So it's the one place where we have the right to remove what we did and to say we don't want it to happen again and make it work. So therefore, we say Kol Nidrei and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu our tshuva is sincere. Look, we have one aveira called nedarim where we can remove it and promise not to do it again, and it works. So we want to do this about all of Harris. That's how he explains it. The shot that hit home is that there's a lot more going on than just Hataris Madarim for us. That we're being Matzah Neder and Kabayachu to the Rabbi Nishloelam, whatever that means, as a Klal Yisrael. And that's why we say Mishiva Shamala, Mishiva Shamata. We never do that before anywhere else. It's like a whole thing because we're being Matzah Neder. Again, that's the shot that hit home to me. Why Kol Nidrei takes its that's such a strong take out the Sifrei Torah. It's like we don't do that in any other part. Some swarm bring down to do it by Nila, but we don't do it. We don't take out the Sifrei Torah by Nila. We do it once a year by Kol Nidrei of all times. We're being Matzah Neder. The answer is because there's a lot more in it. Again, I'm just offering that as a
possibility.
Right. That's true. It's more like a giga. Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
My one is written to be more set.
Yes.
Something that I've worked on a number of years ago and understand almost none of it. But the truth is, the way that one is entire, something which is tummy, is by returning it to the source. The paradigmatic example is when you have tummy seeds and you plant them in the ground and they rot away and they come up color. The only thing that we can make in this world, separate from the punishment of Kibyon, is a matter of that creates something new. It's a part of a much longer understanding. This is the culture that I think is sort of part understood.
I thought you would agree with me. It comes from Araya Mehemna. It's right. What's the difference between Araya Mehemna and Zaire?
There are a collection of several books, or Shum Bar Yochai, which are YouTube, that come together in a certain form, which is well accepted.
Okay, so anyway, there, imprinted in my mouth there,
yeah,
right before Kol Nidre, is this saying from Kam Reb Shimon. Right, Kam Reb Shimon. And in that thing, the little I understand, it says we're being matanetta to the Rabbi Nishloel. I really think that that's the reason it's, again, I know
you're from Moshe Rabbeinu, Raya Mehemna.
He's called Raya Mehemna, right?
If you're interested in the real answer, I know some people I can ask and give them the real answer.
Fine,
you
can
ask. The way I understand
Mashma from Rabbi Yochanan, that it's so upsetting that Rabbi Kiva has this, what's his word, generosity of spirit, and he's going against this generosity of spirit. Rabbi Kiva's going to come back and say, I don't have generosity of spirit. I don't have non-generosity spirit.
I know. It bothered me. I knew it, and I knew you would ask it. I'm surprised it took you so long.
He looks at the psukim, and he says, I type the psukim the way I see him. What do you want from me?
I think Rabbi Yochanan knew that. I think he's just saying, it just, you know, this is the way he types it.
When I open the Gemara, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative.
No.
The way I look at the Gemara.
I knew exactly this was coming up, and he's going to do it again later on. And the way I understand it is, he was saying a statement of fact, not a political statement. He was saying the bottom line is, he's not, you know, where over there he dashes the psukim in such a generous way, in this one he didn't. And according to me, Rabbi Eichon is saying, it's so open and shut that over here you can dash the psukim in a generous way. Why did he see it the other way? He's questioning why Rabbi Akiva learned the psukim that way. Obviously, Rabbi Eichon knows that. He's not lamenting, he's saying a fact. Where he's so generous somewhere else, here he sees the psukim this way, and to me, I see the psukim the other way. It's just a way of expressing it. He does it later on as well. And I knew this question, my shock was that he didn't ask right away.
What happened with Moshe?
We'll get there. The bottom line. Yes?
This is the perfect week to ask that question.
Why?
The interpretation of dreams, more in Brachas. Ramban is the introduction to the Perush Al Torah is that we do have the ability to interpret, and our interpretations do have an effect. That's the meaning of Torah Sisi.
Again, but Rabbi Kiva didn't do it because he is a nice man or not a nice man. He learns Torah objectively and sees Torah as it is in his chelik of Torah. Not that he is generous and therefore he darshens sukkim generously, and he's in not generous mood and he darshens sukkim differently. It's not the way it works. Rabbi Akiva is totally objective, totally removed from his emotions, is learning Torah for the emes of Torah, and this is how he reads Torah.
I mean, the Abarb Nel says on the Navi that the nevuah of a Navi is filtered through their personality. Now, that's going to be true on a Navi, you know, Kav Chomer to an Amora.
Again. But nobody's going to say...
I'm not saying that he wakes up in the morning and draws a little smiley face and says, everything's going to be happy today. On the other hand, it is within the...
Yeah, I don't think this is the time and place of this argument, because that statement that a Navi's nevuah is filtered through his personality does not mean that a Navi can change the Nevuah in any way, fashion, or form what it was really meant to be. It means that the Rabbeinu Shloim, who knows the personality of the Navi, gives the true Nevuah the way it's supposed to be to the Navi. That's what it means. It cannot be. With Asklaya Eina Meira, it cannot be that the Navi can interpret it one way or another. Because if he did, then it's not. Then you can't know 100% that it's true.
There is an effect on it, that's why they wanted to go to the Chulda instead.
I know, and they all asked the question, and they all came to root them. Okay. You can't. This is not the time and place, but you're really undermining all the veracity. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Veracity
of the board.
I managed to avoid Kesher B'Ezra this morning, but I have subverted the veracity.
You just have, by leaving it up to the Navi to interpret it his personality. Veracity of Nevuah does not say that Yeshayah Navi was in a bad mood that morning. Can't do that.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, cannot do that.
I'm saying within the Gedorim that the Abarbanel fetish.
I don't know about Abarbanel. Again, that's my thing. I got all my Ashkafas that came from one place. At least I don't want to blame him for all my Ashkafas. But at least the foundation of my Ashkafas came from one place.
Unfortunately, I'm from Oklahoma.
Right. Thank you, Mishnah. Now we go from quote unquote the frying pan into the fire. The Aseret HaShvatim are not coming back. Hashem threw them away to a different land like today. Today is leaving and never coming back. They are going and not coming back. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Their down times and up times. At a dark time, they won't come back. They won't be there like everybody else. Again, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Aseret HaShvatim are gone. Now, there's two Pshatim and Rashi, what Rabbi Akiva means. Because till now, we've been talking Olam Haba. Now, we switch to coming back. And the next Mishnah goes about Olam Haba again. So there seems to be an interlude between Olam Haba and coming back. So therefore the Ran wants to say that they're one and the same. And when it says, Eina Sidon Lachzer, it's a way of saying they don't have Olam Haba. saying Atzidim Lachzer is saying they're coming back to Tchias HaMeisim, they're coming back to Elam Haba. Rashi, however, brings two Pshatim, and from Rashi it's not so clear they're one and the same, but Lina, we will talk about this. Your Pshat was the Rajva, by the way.